Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Have your way with us again. We ask that these things won't just end here. It will take a grip of our entire experience. It won't just be an expression of our emotion, and it's all right if it touches our emotions, but deepen this matter beyond our emotions. Let it have a total grip of our entire life until we become that which we are crying to you for. So we ask for tremendous help tonight so that there will be true communications of spiritual things that we may be established in the order of your program for our generation. And cause your name to be glorified. Amen. Can we put our hands together and celebrate Jesus? You know, sometimes when God decides to give us a song, it is his doing. And he said, when thou seest sick my face, then my soul said, thy face, O God, will I seek. The greatest moments in our spiritual experience are moments that the Lord initiates himself. When the Lord comes to us, we will get deliverance. Oh, when we give him an invite, you are sure he will come. And when he comes, he may not come in the manner that you so desire. When we prepare the way for him to come, he will come. And it's my prayer that he will come to us. He will not leave us alone. And I love songs because songs sometimes give us harmony within the whole of our being to seek the Lord. There's a way the songs can make you align and your entire being is crying out, hallelujah, irrespective of whatever situation. We used to say Paul and Silas, they prayed and they sang. I just imagined what they were doing in the prison. It was him. Have you seen that scripture? They sang hymns. You know, today when we depict it, we say Paul and Silas. They were not clapping. They were, their hands were they were in chain. Their legs were stocked. But their soul was not tied. And they were singing hymns. And that hymn brought a moment. May God help us to understand that God is not stereotyped. You know, some of us, as I'm taking time with the song, we are just in a hurry. When will he preach? And God may just want us to dwell on that song for 1 hour and go home. And it will be fine. And there will be transactions. Because there will be times of again to teach. But if we are not sensitive sometimes, some things we are supposed to stay on because of the regime of programs that we already outlined, we want to follow our program quickly. So we sometimes run ahead of God. And all God just wants to do is to dwell on that song. How many of you have been in moments that the only thing you did all through was singing? You were just singing a song. You wanted to do another one. None will come. Worship leaders who are very sensitive will say, will people not say I'm too monotonous? One of the troubles we have is we are too externally conscious of what to do. We should interpret the dealings of God from the inside. And sometimes it wouldn't be bad if the entire time of worship we're having with song is just one song. Worship leader. It won't mean that we lack songs. It will just mean that God is sending us a sound and we are interpreting it. And it's just fine. It won't mean we have to start with fast beats and end with slow progression. We are too adjusted in our minds to be led by the Spirit. Can we be a bit more flexible and open? It won't be bad if all we do is a song. If that's all God wants us to do, well, it's all right. That was all that was required for Paul and Silas to do in the prison. They were singing hymns. I never knew what exact hymns they did, but they were singing hymns. Paul and Silas, they took the verses of the hymns, and as they were doing it, things were happening. Foundations were shaking. You can't be more bound than being physically bound. Some of us, we think it is only when we call fire that the devil shakes. We need to capture spiritual moments that has lasting and eternal impact upon our lives. And may God help us always to be able to capture those moments. And not to be in a hurry to just do our thing. When God is even using us, we should not be in a hurry to give an impression or to get the feedback. Okay? Because you just want to say, did I preach well? Was I well applauded? So you move ahead of God. And why am I saying all this? Is because we just had a great song. And there were things happening in the Spirit. There were things happening in the Spirit. Spiritual things can be communicated beyond words. Even beyond words. How many of you know that deaf and dumb, they hear the word of God? They will see revelations of the Spirit. Deaf and dumb. I was invited to deaf fellowship in a school. It was the saddest moment of my preaching. Because I was just checking time so that I can leave on time. That was when I say, and the Lord said. Then they do like this. Am I joking? And then the Lord said, somebody beside me said, everybody is quiet. No, I was making a mistake to say praise God. Then they will say the praise God. Then they praise God soon. They have a way of praising God. You are laughing. In God's program, everything is connected. Everything, say with me, everything is connected. So, I tell you, if you ask me, did I enjoy myself? No, sir. Do I want to go back there? I don't think so. I didn't know whether they understood what I was saying. I just could get some expressions, Sometimes, when I ask them to praise God, they have a way of showing it, that they are praising God. And they are in God's consideration. They are not left out. They have eternal life. They don't sing Yahweh. They don't sing like us. We have our vibrations, they have theirs. They have expression. This God is too big. You can't afford to limit him with your mind. Amen. And that's one of the things God has to deliver us from. The competing system, the Esau. And Esau actually became a gate for the enemy. I studied this, so I don't have time to, maybe some of you, I was preaching in Bado, it was, the prophecy was more about Edom. So in the last 1 week I've been studying Edom so much that I don't just want to go into so much of intricacies, but to pick the connecting points for our use. I discovered that even when Esau began to start family, he deliberately chose all the enemies of Israel. The Ishmaelites, the Hittites, the Evites. These were the wives. These were the places. The Canaanites. These were the places where Esau decided. He decided to establish enmity. And at the end, it became a system. Very robust. That was hell-bent on stopping Israel. But thank God, there was a simultaneous climax. Somebody say with me, there was a simultaneous climax. Israel also climaxed into Zion, which is the fullness of God's strength. And in the last days, we should expect the same thing. Darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. There's going to be a simultaneous climax. That the church also will come to fullness. And the fullness we are looking at is the stature of Christ. But that Edom will not become an established system, you're joking. That Edom is not close, you are joking. Esau started from the same womb. And in earthly description, he was the elder brother. I preached a message some time ago. I called it Beware of the Elder Brother. Because if you want to walk in this earth by natural strength, you can't prevail. Because there are ancient systems that want to prevail over. The high things that exalt themselves. As Israel climaxed into Mount Zion, Esau climaxed into Mount Seir. A mount just by the side of Zion. The east of Zion among the Arabic nations. It became Mount Seir. It became a system. And when you are talking about mountains, I told you earlier, the mountains are established systems. They are systems that have been tested, they have structure. They are on ground. And in the natural terrain, you can't get to defeat Esau. Don't forget, the first expression of Jacob and Esau is in a person. And that person is a woman. And whenever you are looking at a woman, the woman description is always a place to describe the church. That Esau was first found in a woman, while Jacob, at the same time, was in the woman. And if I must interpret it in a prophetic layout, I would describe that there are two systems in man, Esau and Jacob. The older one is Esau. And in the order of this present earth, it is darkness before light. So if we want to overcome darkness in the natural, we don't have the capacity. That's why your children are not trained to sin. You see a 5-year-old boy can manipulate the entire family. Nobody taught him. When the father comes like this, he starts feeling sick. He's not sick. He knows how to get your attention. He will divide the parents like this. Both of them will almost start fighting boxing. Because he knows that both of them love him. Who taught him? It's nature. It's inherent. The order of this present earth is darkness before light. It is Esau before Jacob. And in the natural, except I said something this afternoon, and I've been saying that a time is coming that if you must be a believer, the only way to survive this earth is to go by the way of the Spirit. There won't be an alternative. There won't be an alternative. If you don't go by that way, you will fall away. You will definitely fall away. Because Esau is older. Let me tell your neighbor, Esau is older. And you are a product of the same womb. I like the way Pastor described it in the morning. That Esau is actually flesh, laden with sin. Esau is by nature, is with you. It's not your making. You found him there. You just found Esau there. In fact, he was your elder brother. In the flesh, he had an upper hand. You remember when Jacob was going to have his first struggle? The story began with Jacob and Esau. Jacob thought it was by smartness he would beat Esau. And God watched him for years. By smartness. Some of us think we can overcome this other nature by our own strength. It won't work. Of course, before his father, he could beat Esau by the help of a smart mother who midwifed the process. May you have the blessing of your mom. If your mom wants to make you, you'll be made. Because it is the one that the mother brings that the father will bless. I always joke that there are two placements of women in your life. You must not miss the two. If God help you, in fact, there is no one to miss. If you miss a mother, trust God to find a mother and a wife. I mean, you don't really miss a mother. Because your salvation will be special. A woman is the carrier of the life in the flesh. Is the carrier. When man fell, God began to negotiate the way of recovery. He said to woman, he said, "Hey, I'll put enmity between you and man." I've been saying it everywhere. He said, "I put enmity between you and the serpent." He said, "I have to do separation." The first separation God had to quickly do was woman and serpent. It's dangerous for woman and serpent to unite. If they unite, there is no hope. And he now said, I have identified that your seed, you are the carrier of the light. He said, I put enmity between your seed and his seed. So that is the flow. He said, your seed will what? Will bruise the head of the serpent. And biology confirmed it. All spermatozoa look for the seed of the woman. The resident seed is the seed of the woman. Millions of spermatozoa will be looking for it. The seed is the resident seed. That's why when Jesus was coming, he didn't need spermatozoa. Because the prophetic outline is the seed of the woman. God bless women here. They are in the forefront of our warfare. Billy Graham was talking about the wife. Have you listened to that message? He talked about the wife. I was humbled. He said, how come you know the scriptures? He said, my wife is the real person that relates with scripture. So every of those guys that you see that are heavy prophets from Billy Graham's house, they were not product of Billy Graham. They were product of the mother, of the wife. Timothy is not a product of Paul. It's a product of grandmother. God help you that you find a woman and the woman becomes a kitchen person. You are in trouble. You are doomed. He said, my wife is a caterer. She can do spring roses. You are dead. The first meal your woman must know how to serve is spiritual meal. If she has not grown spiritually, go and register her in the school of the spirit too. Because you are in trouble. You don't have a covering. God deliberately made a woman a product of the rib. What is rib? Protection. Covering. To the most sensitive part of the body. The heart. The door to heart is woman. Door. Gate. That's why when serpent was coming, he knows where to go. He should go through the door. So some of you that are joking say, she's my babe. Are you here? Girls, don't let anybody turn you to babe. It's babe. I thought you said, I'm bae. I've heard that kind of things. Babe. The most, of all of God's creatures, the one that is most tampered with is a woman. It's tampered with seriously, and it's deliberate. She's the symbol of nudity. She's the symbol of fashion. In Lagos, people have places where women strip themselves. And they will pay to go and look at them. Men don't strip themselves. Who wants to look at you? You are. Woman is the real attention in creation. She's the real attention. Women look at women. Men look at women. That's why they do makeup. When women are out, they are still looking at themselves. Yeah, more like a weaver than you. When man is going out, it's still a woman he's looking at. When we were young in our marriage, my wife would say, why are you looking at that woman? I said, you were looking at her. Because how do you know I'm looking at her? It took her time to realize that it was imagination that makes her feel because she's overprotective. Then I was very handsome. I didn't have tummy. And I didn't have gray. So she didn't want anybody to steal her husband. So she said, "Oh God, you are looking at that woman." I said, "Hey, it must be because you are looking at her. So let us both look at her." So the mother of Jacob did so much, but that wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. Esau is a serious matter. Esau is the person that you thought you have departed from, but he's still waiting for you. I don't take some more time to talk about Esau tonight. If that's all, I think it will be fine. If God can help us to conquer Esau. And you, sometimes you think you have dealt with Esau and you have gone away. Jacob had gone away for how many years? Before he realized that there were still vibrations of Esau. Quietly, some of you still feel the vibrations of Esau in your heart. You know. So many things have covered it. You have grown. You have become large. But quietly, your spiritual antennas are raised. You have stature. People are looking at you, but quietly you are still hearing Esau waiting somewhere. When I'm talking about Esau, I'm talking about Adamic nature. Let me make it Adamic nature now, first. I can make it different things. I've told you, Esau is, out of all the enemy of Israel, he's the one that is closest. It's not really so external. It's from the same womb. That's the way it came. And sometimes you think Esau is gone. And he stares you at the face that Esau is somewhere. And Jacob, at some point, wanted to defeat this fear. When he was going to his uncle in I don't know how to pronounce that. Panarara. I've never succeeded in pronouncing it well. But you understand what I'm talking about. He had the visitation and he even thought that visitation was enough. He had the visitation. In departure, he laid down and put his head on a stone. And right there, a ladder was set up to the heavens. And God began to talk to him, giving him reassurances of promises. And that was not even enough. Angels ascending, descending. You see, experiences that you have, spiritual experiences you've had. He called the place Bethel, the house of God. He has come to the house of God. He journeyed on that strength. Some of us have joined in on the strength of the house of God. But it's not enough. It's not conclusive that you have gained upper hand over Esau. That was that serious. The Esau issue was in Jacob's life. I just love to play with that story as the Lord brings words from there. And the finality of if addressing Esau was when God himself will have to visit him, because Esau existed in him. God had to visit him. And that was somewhere in Genesis 32 when the Bible said, and there came, let's see that scripture quickly. Let's just go through that scripture quickly so we can make progress. That should be Genesis 32, right? From verse, should we start from 22? I wasn't planning to go this way this evening, but God help us. Okay, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two men servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Now, you see, let me say this. Sometimes in life, we think promises are the real deal of our call. I'm talking about promises that produces results. Promises of God making us a nation. And when we begin to realize promises, sometimes we begin to still see that there are deeper issues. I'm never against the gospel of prosperity. But when people say ultimately people need to prosper and have wealth and gain this and gain that, when you have gained all, God has sent us different signs. One of the signs I saw early enough in my Christian experience is a sign that Solomon gave us. Solomon had everything you can ever talk about, but that was not, there was no fulfillment in them. He said everything was vanity. He said it was vain. Oh, people traveled from everywhere to see and hear Solomon. He still felt it's not ultimate. It's not fulfilling. He said it was empty. Even everything that represents pleasure, Solomon had it in fullness. He had women. How many of you know that women represent pleasure? He had women. Women. One day I was in a retreat. I was looking at Solomon. I was dealing with the issue of women. And I saw that Solomon started going. He had 300 wives. Hey! Huh? Brother Solomon. King Solomon. 300 wives. Nobody can meet. And God gave him the kind of libido that is required. I don't know how he sleeps with them in a year. Maybe they take a turn one per day. Huh? Okay, even now, after that, he, anywhere he turns, he sees a fine girl. He says, hello, I like you. He becomes a concubine. If he goes to China, he says, hey, sweetie, you look very nice. You like to date me? He becomes a... Everywhere Solomon turned to, he got a woman. And at the end of the day, he was not fulfilled. So I said to myself, if you are stupid, you will tell that lie. If you are very stupid. When we were young, when we were coming to footer lessons, when we get there and say, ah, I won't go see that girl, see that girl. Then he tell you, Larry don't go there now. Then Larry too will feel good. That is the one that has conquered more girls. So I wish I could go and tell Larry to go and study Solomon. That Solomon had done 1,000 ladies. And she said, oh boy, nothing did there. Nothing. So I started keeping my wife very close. Because nothing did there. Let me tell your neighbor, nothing did there. That when we think that gratification at the very essence of covenant promises, we are wasting our time. That there is nothing you achieve in this earth that brings fulfillment. No material thing. Nothing. I got a house. I built a church. When you build a cathedral, there will still be another need. You want to build a university. When you build a university, you want to build an estate behind it. So, those who are in the rat race today, I'm sorry to use that word. Everybody, when they have built the cathedral, they want to move to camp. When they move to camp, they want to have a university. When they get to a university, they want to have an estate. And most of those estates, we have seen some of them, some of those estates that are very pronounced in revival. Some of them we have seen them. Some of them have become mosques. So that we understand that what God is building is not physical. Some of them in Europe today are mosques. Some of the great revivals we had, some of the revivals of the Bible, very heavy. The ones in, what's this place in the Middle East? In Turkey. They are all, Islam are taking over everywhere. I learned that there is a trend in Europe now that all churches are taken over by mosques. So what God is actually building is not physical, it's in the spirit. And where you get your fulfillment from is not actually physical. There is no trouble with having success on the physical pedestal. There is no problem with that. That's why I addressed that so much yesterday, that Jesus dwelt among us. He did well. He was not in trouble. In fact, when he wished that the crowd that were listening to him should eat, he didn't have to borrow. He just prayed and multiplied bread. They ate. Left to the disciples, the people that have been hearing this for so long. You know, when you are coming to hear, you are eager. By the time you have heard for 2 days and there is no food, you'll be thinking in your mind how to go back. It was only few of them that have sense. Nobody came prepared. And you know, Jesus' meeting, a spontaneous meeting. They won't advertise. There was no pre-advertised flyers. And you know, he's just going. And people say, we'll follow him. He discouraged them by crossing the water. They said, we'll come. Then he discouraged them by climbing the mountain. Then they still followed him to the mountain. And they stayed there. And Jesus don't teach all this teaching that you are checking time. No, he will teach. He will teach as he's teaching. He permits you to sleep and wake up. You meet him still teaching. So when he was done, he himself had pity on the people. And he told his disciples, say, we shouldn't just allow these guys to go. He said, there's nothing we can do, sir. We can't cater for these people. He said, what do you have? He said, where? On the mountain. It does not look like there is a mall around. Is that we send these people? We say, okay, don't worry. These people won't be stranded. What do you have? There was one boy, and some people, thanks to mother, I'm sure the mother packed something and said, you all follow them, take a small pound. And that boy was eating his thing small, small. And the boy was willing to surrender. That I still have how many loaves left? And Jesus actually gave thanks and asked that they multiplied it. Okay, so I believe in miracles. We are not a people that should be stranded. Okay, we should not be stranded. We should be open. Every time we say, we are people born out of the womb of affliction, we are not supposed to leave the face of this earth with affliction all through. There are times God will rise to your needs and he will meet your needs very accurately. Okay? And I believe every one of us who are believers should understand supernatural solutions. Hello? However, it won't make us be a people that do the supernatural solutions at will. So that even when God wants to train your muscles, you will cut corners because you have the know-how. You just multiply bread. It's not every time that Jesus multiplied bread. Okay? There are times that he wants the people to bear the pain of trekking so that their muscles will be built. And there are other times he feels they shouldn't be stressed. Alright? Okay, because he's the shepherd. He knows how to take out the sheep. So I believe in supernatural solutions, and I have seen the Lord in my life take care of me sometimes in a very, very, very spectacular manners. I can keep telling you things that I've seen, and you'll be wondering if they are true. You'll be wondering if those things are true. Is this guy really saying the truth? Okay? And there are times that God wants to show you that you have those possibilities available with you, so that you will not be afraid. If it need be for you to go through it, you are not going to be afraid, because you know that His grace covers you. If you don't have to go through it, He will provide a solution. Hallelujah. And so your confidence in God will increase. One of the pastors here recently called me from Akure and said, I was talking very boldly about what the Lord was telling me about one of the people, I think it's Pastor Jennifer, that lady pastor. As I was talking about to one of the couples there who were married. And I said, as the Lord lives. I said, hear me, church. As the Lord lives, in 9 months you have a baby. I'm not joking. That God is saying that to me. And somebody said, when he asked me, he said, this guy, be careful the way you talk. You know why? And when I said that, I just left. I'd even forgotten. One of the afternoons, Pastor Jennifer called me and said, do you know 9 months exactly after you left Akure, this couple gave birth to their baby? That for us was profound. And I said, that is the Lord using that to encourage us. But it is not everybody I see that I say that to. There are some people that I see, I just pray for. And that same day that I was talking to Pastor Jennifer, a lady called me from Houston and said, Pastor, you prayed for me. I'm now 7 months pregnant. So I said, God, why is it only babies? Is it baby ministry? Is it baby miracles? Then the Lord began to show me that by the virtue of experience, I have grown confident in that. And that's true. When I meet people that have said they are waiting, I just say, don't worry. That is a small thing. Because my own was a critical case. With the encouragement with which I've been encouraged, I can encourage others. The comfort with which I've been comforted, I can comfort others. There are times I drove out of the hospital with my wife, and she's perplexed in the car, crying. And I'll say, I will get you out of this car if you cry. What is your problem? Don't cry here. That is medical report. Now, if you trouble me too much, I'll go and adopt a baby and give you. I said, I didn't hear God tell me that I will not have a baby. In fact, before I married you, I discussed about a boy. God was telling me my son would do this and that. So, is it Eliezer of Damascus? Even when it got to a point, I don't know if I've told the pastor this story before. When it got to a point that a prophet told me, I went to see a prophet. You know, this prophet, the so-called prophet that they just see. They don't understand purpose. Prophets are people that understand purpose. They bring the will of God in the heavens to earthly perspective. Those are prophets. They are not just seers talking numbers. They can appropriate the will of God on earth. They are preachers. That's why I was trying to introduce David to you. He was not doing anything spectacular, but was downloading heaven to the earth heavily. He didn't even say, I see a horse with three horns. That was not his realm of the prophetic. His realm of the prophetic was poetic and profound. And was direct. Anything, he did more messianic prophecies. Even the maturity of the church. In fact, his terms of describing the climax of the church is the one we are adopting and using today. Zion. So he was a profound prophet. And so that woman told me that day, I remembered it was my friend that brought me and said, Pastor, ni kokono lolo mambaso. And I didn't want to join, but I just felt, okay, I don't want to look proud. Is that the sound word of God? I said, okay, that's all right. So we drove, we went and saw the woman. The woman said, ah. You're a prophet. He wanted to get me with that. You're a prophet. I was indifferent. If I'm a prophet, I'm going to talk. So I said, why did you marry that woman? So she began to download history of my wife. Everything was very sharp and correct. He said, do you know even the woman that raised her did not have a child? I said, I didn't want to confirm anything. But the thing was giving me very serious confirmation to my son. He said, just me o mo. So I said, will I leave this place without an answer? My friend, I'm sure he was almost peeing in that instruction. Why did I have to bring this guy here? I said, thank you, ma. The scripture says we see in part. We prophesy in part. That's a part you have. I said, there are other parts. I will come back. I said, oh yeah, Glinga, let's go. And we left. We drove out of that place. We couldn't talk to each other for 30 minutes in the car. The car was thick. There was no sound. He would just silently look at my face. And I said, why this quietness? I said, go see, Coco. It is well. I said, are you afraid for me? Don't be afraid for me. It's not me. All those things you are hearing. I said, I equally. It's just like that woman said to Elijah. Elijah said, can I inquire from the king on your behalf? He said, I am a legitimate citizen of this land. I have access to the king. It's not a favor. Just a big man say, I want to take you to the president. Say, me. Take care of you. I will go to the president. That was what he was telling Elijah. So I said to my friend, I equally have access to the sound of heaven. I hear God. I will double check all those things because I've never had them before. They are not confirming anything to me. So it's not real to me. So immediately I dropped him, I went. I went to sit down and say, God, this matter I want to settle it once and for all. I'm not afraid of not even having a baby. So that's not even an issue. So I told God I'm not afraid, but I want to be very certain. I finished all the praying and waiting. I didn't hear anything. But I got peace. And I got my peace. My friend, my wife was in England. I went home. No, I didn't go home. I think I stopped in Oshogbo. I actually went to Orioke. I locked myself down. Take away food. Take away water. I said, now, business. I don't want to stay where people are praying. I said, God, I came because of this matter. And I am your child. I need to really find out the process. And what about all this matter? I said, it's not even what that woman is saying. Because even when the valley prophet told Ezekiah, the valley prophet Isaiah, when Isaiah comes to your house, it's verdict. And he said to the king, prepare your house, for thou shalt surely die. And prayer is a platform of negotiation. And Ezekiah stood up and used his last strength. They have been lying. When the matter hits you, you will come out with strength. You will get up with strength. When he was still lying down, when they gave him death, his eyes open. When they told the Oga, that's the final. He got up and began to negotiate. When the matter became serious, negotiation, God said the same prophet. The same prophet had not gone so far. He said, oh God, go and disappoint yourself before Ezekiah. Prophet don't like for the things they say not to come to pass. He said, okay, if you don't go by yourself, I'll send somebody else. To respect yourself. Go and tell Ezekiah again that he's not dying again. With the same mouth, God. Say, I'm a child of God. I know how to negotiate family matters. And Satan does not participate. He doesn't have a right. And so, when I got to the hotel, let me round up this testimony so we can begin to look further into praying. When I got to the hotel, I fell into a vision. Those kind of visions have happened in my life, giving me directions. I remember the first ever one that I saw was in Akure here. And the Lord came to my room and took me. He took me like this. Yeah, and he said, go. Then he sent me, I flew. I landed in a place. And he showed me the place. And later, I went there. So this time around, I saw the same scenery. It was in my room. And he gave me a baby boy. I was trying to find out if it was a girl because I wanted to have a girl. I was not trying to adjust to say it's a girl. He said, give me a name. He said, Moyege. He said, that's your baby. Hey, when I got up, I was blasting tongues. Lavashata, Rusekatada, Yamakasi. I was not reading the Bible. I was sure. There was a serious, the baby was in my room when I was up. I could feel it. In the middle of the night, I called my wife. I said, madam, your baby is in Nigeria. She kept quiet. I said, are you there? She said, I'm there. I said, God just brought the boy to me. Just brought the baby to me now. The only thing is that I still want to negotiate for that for it to be a girl. Because I have so many dreams about girls. Especially when I would take a girl to the altar. I said, oh, give this boy to this girl. To this. And a very beautiful girl. And I'll be staying at the back. And there is the person. And I'll come out with my gray hair. I said, come on now, come on. I will hold the girl. Sick. Majestically walk out again. So I said, at least give me the first one. Let it be girl, I beg. My wife was quiet. She won't forget. She will never forget. She was quiet. He said, I know God talks to you. She started crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, because I know God talks to you. I've been waiting for this long for God to talk to you about this. I said, stop all this crying. Go and change your ticket and come to Nigeria. It doesn't come by email. And immediately I began to prepare myself. I remember the night he was coming. I took my car. I said, God, show me an hotel that nobody have never slept. And I was driving. I drove through Allen and I found a place. They just finished painting. I said, when are you opening? They said, tomorrow. I said, I want it tonight. They said, you'll be our first customer. I said, yes. That's why I'm here. The Lord sent me here. I said, show me around your rooms. They showed me around. And I said, I choose this one. They said, no, you are our first customer. I'll pray for us. So I said, let's pray. I pray with them. And I booked the room. My wife was supposed to arrive around 10 p.m. From 6 p.m., I was moving around, praying in tongues, eating carrots, apples, everything, getting ready. Because I have prophecy. Somebody say, I have prophecy. So, immediately I took her, I put the luggage, I said, I was driving, so I said, are we not going? We are not going home. He said, are we not going? I said, we are not going home. We are going where it will be you and me alone for another 3 days. No participation, no call, no interest, nothing. No program, no ministration. But it was not by power, not by mind. I thought that I thought that one was going to make the thing happen. I was disappointed. But a beautiful God, in 4 months after, that lady that has never been pregnant in her life took in for the first time ever. So I believe that God is not just our God, that we relate to in a vague manner, but in practical terms. His present help in trouble. He manages our lives. He's in charge. Somebody say he's in charge. And when we are confident about him, he will show up at any time. So that's where I got my confidence from. When you ask me to pray for people who are waiting, it doesn't look like anything to me. What do you want to tell me that I have not seen? A lady told me, hey, I was in the Redeemed Church. I had an operation. My womb has now closed. I said, leave all those things. These are medical terms. Forget it. Go home and sleep. Told her husband that that pastor is not serious. He didn't even pray for me. He said, I should go. I have confidence in him. I said, go and sleep. I will call you. We'll pray together. If it's your father, my father, we are talking to, something will happen. He will talk to us. And it's not wrong to have such confidence in God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. How did I arrive here? Yeah. Jacob was left alone. And you see, the only way to deal with this striking fear of Esau is to hand over to God. And sometimes handing over to God, we don't initiate it. Sometimes I say, I surrender. Sometimes your willpower is not strong enough to do it. You are just singing it. But you are doing invitation for God to come and do his handing over by himself. When it comes to do his handing over by himself, it's not always very sweet, because he will initiate processes like he did to Jacob. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him. The personality was the one that started the fight. Whenever God decides to wrestle you, in order for you to become what? To prevail. He said he wrestled, and there came a man and wrestled. Who? He wrestled a man, wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. It was a night of, some of you are in that night. It's a night season. You think it's the devil fighting you. If you find out very well, it is the Lord. He blocks everything that can give you his in order to conquer you. And it is love. It's not hatred. Some of you think you can't give up that sin. Oh, you are joking. When God decides to come, you will learn the hard way. Some of you think you can't be obedient. When he comes and starts a fight, nobody wins him. And it is love and covenant that makes him start a wrestling. And some of us, some of the things we are going to the mountain to go and pray about, it is God that will meet there. Olorun lo wa nbe. And it's an all-night battle. So many night seasons are here. If it's not of the devil, it is of the Lord himself. He initiated it. And God will not give up until you are ready. And he will do tests to be sure that it's not wrestling in vain. And it's because you are not a son of perdition. That's why he's chastising you. He initiates it. Some of us are going through such night seasons here. We can't talk. But we are bearing. You want to cry, you can't cry. Because you have actually seen that it's the finger of God. You thought it's something you can wade off. If God has not conquered you, you can't conquer yourself. If he has not really conquered, you can't conquer Esau. Esau is flesh, itself. God needs to actually he has to initiate processes that will conquer you. A man wrestled, and there wrestled the man with him until the breaking of the day. And he wrestled back, verse 25. He tried to, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, you know, man is so terrible. Heaven was wrestling the man. He was not prevailing. How many of you have been in situations where God wants to take that thing from you? I surrender all, but you are not giving it up. Have you been there before? I surrender, Lord. And God said, bring it here. But God will give up. He wrestled to the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he does not prevail, he decided to touch the hollow of his thigh. So that the things you depend on. When God begins to touch the things you depend on, his leg, his swiftness, his smartness was what God went for. It was the smartness, it was through his smartness that he got everything he sent ahead of himself. What about if Esau takes everything? How will he get another? So when God touched the hole of his thigh and it was out of joint, then God now said, bye-bye. See you. Then he said, oh God, you can't go. If you don't realize that this thing you just broke now is what I've built my life upon. And that was the point of separation. That's what made him a judge. Because he doesn't have anything to depend on in the flesh again. Nothing to depend on in the flesh again. Nothing to rest on in the flesh again. You see, it's better if you have given it over, to have given it up by yourself, than for God to take it from you. If God takes it from you, it goes through a painful process. And all was in preparation for him to become victorious over the fear that stares him at the face, which is Esau. Hallelujah. And verse 26, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go, except thou bless me. You must give me a covering. You see, I've told you that God interestingly made us vulnerable. Our vulnerability is what makes us dependent. As long as you have two legs to stand on your own, God is not still sure that you are in the covenant. You must be totally dependent. You must be totally submitted to Him. If you don't give it, He will take it from you. If you are in the covenant, He can't leave you like that. If you have been to Bethel, you have to come to Peniel. It's a journey. There are things you can get away with in Bethel. But in Peniel, no. You can't cross that boundary except you are surrendered. And it is a surrendered person that has prevailed. Look at the word. The next verse. And he said unto him, these are the signs of a man that has given up. He said of him, the same question that his father asked him years ago. And he answered with smartness. He asked him again, are you still Esau?
We have to deal with the Esau in you. You have marked yourself as Esau. You are not really Esau. He said, what is your name? It was on this that you were swift with men. People of God, we could have been very swift with men and get validations from men. Until we get validations from God, we are not yet in the covenant. You know, your smartness can take care of me and Pastor Shehi. And say, oh, what a wonderful brother. Wonderful brother. Power. Even me, my smartness can take care of you. Because I can preach. You say, oh, Pastor, you're kind. In fact, we have promoted him now. It's not, it is act prophet. Because you have validated him. But you can't be smart with God. You cannot. He asked him, what is your name? And this time around, he was ready to hone up. He said, my name is Jacob. Yeah. Then, the heaven was sure that he was ready for the rest of the journey. He was not just living for survival. Now, he was ready for fulfillment. To fulfill purpose. So he said, my name is Jacob. And he said to him, your name will no longer be Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Who has prevailed? The one that has surrendered. The one that God has a total upper hand in his life. That's the one that has prevailed. Can we rise on our feet? So prevailing is not about being smart on your own. This was not what I came to say this evening, but I think this is the direction God wants us to go. Prevailing is not about you being very smart on your own. Prevailing is that God has a free course. So after then, he was ready to face Esau. For if a man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Amen and amen. He makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. I submit to you that it's only God that can take care of Esau. And if we don't quickly agree with God, the Esau that came from the same womb has the capacity of bringing us down if God does not help us. The only way for us to obtain the help of God is to totally submit to God. God knows when that nature that you need to conquer is still there. I don't have time. I would have shown you Peter. If you go to chapter 16 of Matthew, Peter, God said to Peter, after receiving a revelation of the Lord, he said, thou art Peter. You will no longer be called Simeon. He said, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father that is in heaven. But there was still a pollution in Peter. In the same chapter, you see that God said to him, that Jesus said to him, get me behind me, Satan. For you savoureth not that which be of God. God just changed his name. But there are still the conflict of the soul. There are internal conflicts that must be dealt with. And I've told you that Esau is a gate. It's a gate. It's the one that gives access to Satan.
And sometimes it's in us. And Satan wants to come through that side. Because even Satan himself knows that that option is still available. But we will check it. He knows. He knows the option is still available in you. Glory to God. We need help. We need help. I want you to tell the Lord, have your way in my life. Hand over. Hand over everything to him. Hand over. Can we talk to God? We are in a journey. But the climax is he that overcomes. He that overcomes. He that overcomes. One of the ways of showing our dependence on God is prayer. Commit yourself. I cannot do it by myself. I can't undo it. I can do it alone. Shut up.
Just 10-15 minutes, and I want you to put your heart to it. Now, the prayer position is the most profound position of submission to God. Let me tell you, if you have a sincere prayer altar, you won't miss God. I'm not talking about cosmetic, gymnastic things, religious things. If you have a sincere prayer altar, you can't miss God. In fact, when you have a sincere prayer altar, when you take this Bible, you will hear God. We have to go back there. Not praying here. The proportion of our praying here should be 10 to 1. Like I said yesterday. If you pray here,
with tenacity. You have to go and make it 10 times more in your private. That's the law. That's the principle. That's the way to survive. Now, in Luke chapter 21, verse 36, I see it every week. I go to that scripture every week. It reminds me of criteria. Watch it therefore and pray how? Always. That you may be accounted, is the word of Jesus Christ. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things, including Esau. That you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand. How many of us want to stand? The basic requirement is we have to be committed to praying. Let's go back and fan our altars back to flame. We live in so much of assumptions these days. We are submitted to alternatives, and there are no alternatives. This is the way. Even when the old life wants to rear its ugly head, if you commit yourself to God, He's able to keep that which is committed to Him. I want you to, with a true heart, to go to God tonight and ask for help. As much as I am preaching, I need help. I know I need help. Preaching does not erase my risk. I know I need help. I must find a personal place. The place we just saw in Jacob is called Peniel. Face to face with God. Say, I need face to face with God. I need it in the secret place. I need it always. Always. Can you go to God and talk to Him? Help me to rise above. To rise above the mundane. To rise above the flesh. To rise above self-life. To rise above Israel. Help me, Lord. I don't have any other means of living. It's only You. Only You, Lord. Only You, Lord. Only You, Lord. Balamini kisuha bayana. If you have a football, if you have a roof around, if you have a need around, don't take this moment for granted.
pray? Can you get a partner to pray?
Just get someone you can pray with.
Miriam, can you give me Luke 22 verse 31? We are going to help each other in prayer.
Peradventure God will look at the sincerity of our heart tonight and will receive help, tremendous help. Verse 31.
For a few months, the Lord has been dealing with me from this scripture. Few months. So Jesus came to who? Peter.
He didn't call him Peter. He called him Simeon. Because that was what Satan was seeing. There is a side of you that Satan still can explore. It's called the Simeon side. It's the whole life. As much as you have been given Peter, in new birth, a regenerated soul, you still see there is still a window that I can explore. Satan was at, he knew he can't come in through the Peter life, but he knew there is still a residual of life of Simeon that he can take advantage of. It's in everyone. He knows the weak side. He knows the Simeon side. So he said, Simeon, Simeon. He didn't call him Peter again. He was close to the end of his walk. He had been called Peter long before now. But he said, Simeon. When God calls you Simeon, be careful. Like Pastor was telling us in one, there are times God addresses us on from different positions. But this time around, he was going to address Peter as Simeon. He is the one that said, your name will no longer be Simon. He said, Simon by Jonah, I say unto you, thou art Peter. Heaven sees you as Peter. But there is still a residual in you. It's a window that Satan wants to explore. But I, the antidote to Satan's plan is I have prayed for you. Lord, can I find a man to pray for me? Even as the Lord is praying for me, I want you to hold your brother, your sister's hand. I say, I pray for you. That area, that window that the enemy seeks to explore, to see you, he has not had his way. Can you lift the hand of Jesus? Let's
Take one for yourself. The next verse. The content of Jesus' prayer. He said, I pray for you that your faith will not fail. It's a big prayer. That your faith will not fail. And when you are crying for Jesus, help me that my faith will not fail. Can you cry for Jesus? For you, for your will, for your presence, for the secret place. Draw us always back to the secret place. Revive our energy for the secret place. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Please, Media, can you give me that hymn? Just give me the third verse. In Christ alone. The third verse. We're just before our time, we just sing the third verse and the chorus. To sing like 2-3 times. Something that is stirring on your inside. How many of you can sense it? You are back. There is something this conference would achieve with us. It will achieve intimacy. Thank you. We will achieve intimacy. So I want that verse where it says, no power of hell, no scheme of man. The last verse. Okay, can we just take that one? We're going to take it like 2 times or 3, confidently. How many of you are ready to go back to praying like never before? You trust God. You trust God to go to the Bible like never before. You trust God to be like the Bible. You trust God to go into the intimacy with God like never before. When I come into you, I ask the Lord, I'm coming to receive a good pleasure. I want you to bring people to you, more people to yourself. I trust God that will go back to pray. That some of us will personally have a chance to get up there. And the power of God will be absorbed by the Lord of God. He shall not expire. Can we sing that thing together?
No guilty land, no heaven. Thank you.
For this great work he has done here tonight. Let us give him thanks. Great things. Thank him. Oh,
to God be the glory. God is he.
Message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.